Love Talk Radio.
I'm probably going to have to move over there because he's going to be checking my bag.
I'm
going to
Ministries. We're so excited to have you to be on the call today. We're still in the love zone, even though we're here online, and we welcome you to be online with us through the entire broadcast. We have a wonderful service plan for you today. Just want to give you a heads up. I am on my way to Indianapolis, Maryland, to do a photo shoot for a book that's coming out. Two books actually coming out this summer. One of the books is called Love Heals, I Am a Witness. Actually, that's the chapter that I'm writing in a book called Intensify Groove with about 10 other women around the country that are part of that. I'm excited about that. Second book is I Am a Resilient Woman Now. And that book kind of chronologizes what God did for me out in the desert, how he really strengthened me as a woman of God, spiritually, physically, emotionally. And then he brought me all the way back to the East Coast to strengthen me in other ways as well. So that's going to be, you know, my story. And so I'm excited. That's moving forward. So I just want to let you know that I'm not going to be on air the entire time. But our other ministers online, Pastor Val, of course, is going to open us up with prayer, and then she's going to teach us about prayer. Then Pastor Lonnie is going to bring a now word to us, you know, that's going to open us up for the will and the way of God to be wrought in our lives. And so, you know, I just ask you to just get ready, as T.D. Jakes said, get ready, get ready, get ready for what God is going to do with us. I want you to know that in order to reduce the background, if you start this, you can mute out until you're ready to talk. And that will really, really, really enhance the broadcast if you would do that. So do star six, and that will mute you out. You can still hear what's going on. And then when you're ready to say something, we hope you are going to share with us today, then you can go ahead and star six back, and it'll bring you back into the broadcast. Okay, our guest artist today is Cece Whining. And this is one of our favorites, right? How Great Thou Art. Let's listen up. After that, the next voice you will hear be Pastor Val. She's going to lead us into prayer.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the play. Went through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from
great they are. And now we'll have prayer by Pastor Pear.
God bless you. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, Father, here we are again, God. We just come to you, Heavenly Father, just thanking you for this day, God. Thanking you, Heavenly Father, for your mercy and your goodness. Thanking you, God, for your loving kindness, oh God. Thanking you, Heavenly Father, for bringing us back together once again, oh God. Father, thank you for the radio audience this evening, oh God. Thank you for the church family, God. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to say to us this evening. Open up our ear gates, God, that we may hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. Take the scales off our eyes, God, that we may see you through the word, God, that we may know, God, how to apply the word of God to our lives, God. Father, we just thank you for your mercy and your goodness. We thank you for your loving kindness, oh God. Father, we just exhort your mighty name. We give you praise, God. We give you glory this evening, oh God. Father, we thank you for the radio listening audience today, God. We thank you, Father, that you're touching them, God. where they need to be touched, oh God, that you, God, are healing them from the inside out, oh God. God, that you are meeting their needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Father, we just thank you tonight. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for watching over your word to perform it in our lives, oh God. Father, we just thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory, God, for allowing your word to become alive in us, oh God, and through us, oh God. Father, we just thank you for feeding us once again, God. We bless your holy name. We give you glory and honor, and it's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Val, for that awesome service.
God bless you.
Again, if you have just tuned in, you tune in to Unfailing Love Ministry. I'm Dr. V, your senior pastor. You just listened to a favorite prayer by our pastor, Valerie Payne. After this particular selection, we're going to have the teaching, what we call our leadership teaching at Unfailing Love Ministries. We believe in raising up leaders who love to advance the kingdom of God. Why we have that as our mission is because God said that he is love and that he will know that we love him by the way we love the brother. Therefore, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe on him shall have everlasting life. So we want to be scripture base, and we believe that we are. We need today in this land, like one songwriter said, all we need is love. What the world needs now is love. What the world needs now is the saints of God, people who believe in Jesus Christ, to be his representative here on the earth. Love God's people. The Bible says that he drew us with cords and bands of love. If people are going to be drawn into the kingdom today, they're going to be drawn by our love, by that love that we get directly from the Father heart of God. And so that if we are created in his image as believers, then it shouldn't be difficult for us to represent him in the earth. We will lift Jesus up by the way we love him, by the way we respond to his love to us, and people will want to know, how are you living like that? I want to know how you get it like that. And we say, I got it because the love of my Father and the Father's love for me. And so that's our mission at Unfailing Love Ministry. And so with all that being said, we just want to have a hallelujah praise and get our leadership training.
Hallelujah, the highest praise. Hallelujah, the highest praise. Hallelujah.
can't help but praise him. And now, the taught word, I leave to your lesson for Pastor Vail. Hello, Pastor Vail, are you there?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was on. I'm sorry. God bless you. My phone was on mute. God bless you.
Thank you for being that.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
I said thank you for muting out for the background noise. Go ahead. Let's just get this leadership word on.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, radio audience. And God bless you, Unfailing Love Ministry. Last week I talked about praying with demonstration and power. This week I would like to talk about praying with authority. And when I looked at the word authority, it meant power or right to give orders or make decisions and enforce obedience. And so when I was thinking about praying with authority, it showed me that we have a right. And we know that once we have received Jesus Christ into our lives, he has given us some rights. But a lot of times what happens is because of sin and because of us not believing, we fall away from the authority that God has given us. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts that he has given all power to us. And sometimes because we try to measure up that power according to the lifestyle that we live, we feel like, well, I don't have any power. Or we may feel like, well, I come short of the power. But the Bible says in Hebrews that he has given everybody a measure of faith. And so being that God has given us a measure of faith, the only thing that can make us powerless is when we allow sin to come in our lives. Not that God expects us to live a sin-free life in the sense of being perfect, but he does expect us to live a sin-free life as far as when we know to do right, not to continue into sin. So therefore, when I talk about praying with authority, I talk about after the Bible says after the Holy Spirit come upon us, that means after we have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, as believers, he's given us authority. Authority to do what? Not just name it and claim it, but authority on the earth realm to be able to raise the dead with signs and wonders, authority to be able to go into the adversary camp and not only take back, but also claim some things and recover some things that we say as believers that we have lost. But I come to tell you this evening that God has given us authority that he said if we ask anything in his name, he said that he would do it for us. So what does that mean, Pastor Val? That means that once I know who I am, because before you can even have authority or have power over anything, you got to know what belongs to you. When you know what belongs to you, then you know how to operate it. It's just like if somebody give you a car. Well, if you don't know the car is yours, you'll never get in and drive it. So it's the same thing. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and if you haven't, I invite you to do so just by simply asking him to come into your life and forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So once we have done that, then we have what God has. We become children of God. We become king's kids. I often like to say king's kids. And the reason I say king's kid, because we know that kings rule. We know that the king is not broke. And if the king is not broke and he rules, he gives us authority, the same authority that God has. He has given to every child, every born-again believer to be able to execute the things that he has commissioned us to do here on the earth. So therefore, when I talk about praying with authority, not going into prayer knowing who you are as far as a believer, going into prayer knowing that if whatever God has promised us through his word, then we're going to receive it. And some may ask the question, well, you know, Pastor Val, I prayed and I don't see any results. I prayed and it seemed like my prayers are not being answered. What's going on? It's not all the time that anything is really going on. Sometimes God would allow us to just be on the spinning wheel, as we call it, or the potter's wheel, for just a little while longer. And when you say, well, a little while longer, well, you know, it's been a year, it's been 2 years, it's been 5 years, it's been 10, it's been 25 years. Well, in the natural, we count it up as years, but in the spiritual realm, God don't look at it as years, because he says one day is like a year with him. So therefore, we can't really count it up as days or years, but what we can do, praise God, is look at while we're going through whatever it is that we're being challenged with, what is God saying and what is he trying to give up, get to us or get out of our life at that particular time? Because we know that whatever we go through, God is birthing something in us, or he's taking something out of us, or he's bringing us into a dimension with him. So when we pray with that authority and realizing that God is not trying to hurt us or harm us, but he's trying to grow us up in him through our faith, through our believing that whatever he promised us, because we know in the word of God that God is not a liar, that whatever he tells us is ours, it's ours. The Bible says it like this. He says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of your mouth. He said, it's not going to return void. In other words, whatever I told you that you can have, whatever I told you that you can do, guess what? You're going to be able to do it. But we have to make sure that we're believing God and that we're trusting God to do just what he said that he's going to do in us. So today when I talk about praying with authority, once we acknowledge that Christ, that we are children of God, and once we acknowledge that he's given us some authority, then the question comes, what are we doing with that authority? And if we have that authority and we recognize we have that authority, are we going into the enemy camp and snatching people out of the gates of hell? Are we going into the streets and the highways and byways and compelling people to come? Because that's what God has commissioned us to do as believers. He said, once you're converted, you go out and you convert your sister and your brother. So when we pray with the authority that God has given us, we have access into the throne room. The throne room is God's heaven. So when we come before God, we come believing, we come trusting, and we come knowing. Trusting means it, no matter what it looks like, I trust God. That's why the word of God says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And we know that when we lean to our own understanding, our understanding will fail us. Because the Bible talks about how can we who are saved, how can those who are not saved, understand the things that of the believer. When a person is not saved and they're not born again, they don't really understand what God is saying to us or what he's commissioned us to do. But we who know Christ, we understand that our Father said that the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us. And so what is it leading us and guiding us? It's leading us and guiding us into all truth. When we know the truth, then we can do better. When we know the truth, then we can make changes. So when we make the change, we come into an alignment with God. We come into that oneness with him. And so, therefore, when we come before his throne, we're not coming weak. We're not coming as children that are lost and don't know no better. We're not coming weeping and crying, but we're coming in a boldness. The Bible said we can come boldly to the throne of grace. What do you mean coming boldly? Meaning coming that I know that God lives inside of me, and because he lives inside of me, whatever I'm asking, whatever I'm trusting, whatever I'm believing, we know that God hears us when we pray, that our prayers are not just being thrown up into an open space, but we know that our Heavenly Father, he watches over his word to perform it in our lives, and because he's watching over our words to perform it in our lives, then we have our petition. That's what I'm talking about, praying with authority. We know that when we send the word out, it's going to bring some great substance. We know that when we send the word of God out and when we pray the word, because the word is the answer, we're not praying a missed prayer or just throwing words into the atmosphere, but we're praying with the authority that Christ has given us, which is his word. When we stand on the word of God, we get Bible results. When we stand on the word of God, we see situations change. When we stand on the word of God and pray in the authority, praying in the power. When we talk about praying in the power, it doesn't measure up how loud a voice we send, but praying the word of God, because when we pray the word of God, we see the word of God be worked out in our lives, our friends' life, our children's life, our church lives. We see the word come to fruition through praying in authority. So today I just wanted to share with us about praying in authority, praying and believing and trusting and knowing that whatever we asking, whatever we believe in God, even though you might not see it yet, even though it may not have taken a turn yet, it's going to take a turn according to the will of God. The Bible said that if we are obedient, that we shall eat the good of the land. And obedient means following God, not being perfect, but following God, living according to the word of God. So I just wanted to share with us that we can pray with authority. We can pray with that assurance and give our prayer some direction to go in, and we're going to get Bible results. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. Amen, Pastor Bell. Powerful teaching on being praying with authority. Glory to God. And with that, we're not gonna skip a beat. We're gonna go straight on into the preach word of God by Pastor Lonnie. While the anointing is flowing right now, he's just gonna come right up under that and keep us going for today. Again, if you just tune in, this is Unfailing Love Ministries. You've entered into the love zone where leaders are being trained to lead and to love, where God is being glorified. Amen. And the power of prayer, the power of God's love, and the power that worketh effectually in us is operating. Come on, Pastor Lonnie, bring us the preached word.
Praise God. Say amen.
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 I have with me the welcome address to Unfailing Love Ministries. This is, what's your name?
Tammy.
All right.
Thank you.
Welcome to people.
Welcome to the Love Zone. We welcome you to Unfailing Love Ministry, where we teach love, we teach heart, we praise heart, we love heart. Thank you for joining us at Welcome to the Love Zone.
Woo! Awesome. Awesome.
Amen.
My kids are ready today. That sounds so good. Thank you for that welcome.
So we're trying to be ready all the time. We're supposed to be ready.
Amen. That's right. Glory to God.
Today I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to teach you a little English lesson first, and then we're going to come from Revelation. I want to tell you about a homophone. I know that a lot of us are out of school, but children that are listening should know what a homophone is. A homophone are words that sound the same but have different spellings and meanings. The number two, T-W-O, and the word two, T-O-O, sound alike. The word write, W-R-I-T-E, like with a pen or pencil, and write, like your right hand, R-I-G-H-T, are homophones. Patience and patients are homophones. One is with a T, P-A-T-I-E-N-T-S, is a noun which describes people that are under some sort of care, be it medical, psychological, or spiritual treatment. Patience, P-A-T-I-E-N-C-E, is a verb, an action word, and an adjective, a description of a noun, which means the quality of being patient as the bearing of provocation, annoyance, misfortune, or pain without complaint, loss of temper, irritation, or the like, or the ability or willingness to suppress restlessness or annoyance when confronted with delay. In other words, the second patient means to be cool when you're dealing with the first patient. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. I'm going to read my scripture now. I'm coming from Revelation, the last book of the Bible, the last chapter of the Bible. I'm going to read verse 12 and 13, verse 17 and verse 20. And this is what I'm reading from. I'm reading from the NIV. Okay, verse 12, Revelation 12 says, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. Verse 13 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Verse 17 says, the Spirit and the bride say, you know who the bride is, the church, say, come, and let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life. And now verse 20, finally he says, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. And the writer wrote, amen, come Lord Jesus. I would like to use this title, I've lost some patience here. I'm getting tired of this mess. I had lost my patience with a lot of things, but none like I had lost patience with church. I had become impatient with the struggle of politics that has the church people in a tug of war for power. I had grown impatient waiting for the church to become Ephesians 5:17, where it says a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I struggled not to give up hope with my impatience. I struggled not to throw in the towel and give over to the flesh during my impatience. I struggled for peace and clarity. I struggled for joy and for strength during my time of impatience. But what I have learned is that what comes out of impatience, what impatience breeds, is confusion, sadness, anger, and weakness. Am I going too fast? How many of you parents, how many of you parents get impatient with your children, grown or otherwise? And how many children get how many children get impatient with your parents, grown or otherwise? How many of us lose patience with other family members, lose patience with co-workers or fellow church members in your regular church? A better question to be put on the table is, how many of us get impatient waiting on God? Now,
all right.
When I look around in my notes, in 1975, that was supposed to be the end of the world. Jesus was supposed to be coming. Then again in 2000, it said, Jesus is coming, get yourself in order. We want God's blessing. I think I spoke about this last week. But we don't want to wait. Mm. We want his blessing, but ask what is taking so long. I say, this sounds familiar. I think I said that last week. And I don't mind repeating myself, because sometimes you got to say it again to get it to let it sink in.
Man.
You got to say it again to let it sink in. We want God to straighten out the church, but every Sunday or Saturday, depending on what church you go to, your regular church, that is, there is something else with sister or brother so-and-so. Well, maybe that don't happen at your regular church every Sunday, but it did at my regular church. And I couldn't figure out who needed to straighten out the mess. God didn't create the mess in the church, did he? See, I knew better than that, and my patience ran thin, so I left. And that's why I'm in a different, not so regular church right now. This is not a, we have no regular church here, Unfailing Love Ministries. It's obvious, by the way, we're having service right now. I can hear Pastor Val say, well, Lonnie, you should have prayed about it. Because she's a prayer warrior and teaches that, as a prayer warrior, she teaches that prayer changes things. But this may sound wrong, but you know, I've grown impatient with it, it's just putting a Band-Aid on the situation. Because every time I get healed and take the Band-Aid off, it pulls the scab off and leaves a scar. I know that scars can be good because they can remind you of what happened and what not to let happen again. They can remind you of how weak you had been. But 2 Corinthians 7:9 talks about a thorn in the flesh, and asking God to remove it. And God keeps saying that His grace is sufficient, and that is all I need. He says that His power works best in my weakness. But I want to save my portion of His power for when I need it for some stronger things that I will encounter because of my impatience. Does anyone know what I mean? I mean, when I get weak and think I need to do some stealing or cheating or misbehaving or any such thing, or neglect towards my child, that's when I need His grace. God has given us the power to work through some things for ourselves. John 14:12 says that whoever believes on Jesus, the works that He did, we will do also, and greater works will we do. I believe that. How many of y'all believe that today?
Amen.
Yes.
Besides, after too many scars, you start looking ugly. So I find that I need some medication, some ointments, some salve, and some balm. So this afternoon, I'm asking you, my dear friends and family, to have a little patience with me as I try and show you that being impatient puts you in good company. When I searched that balm, that healing ointment, I found examples of people being impatient and how they didn't let it go further than that. Even Jesus was patient and patient a couple of times. I'm not repeating myself when I say patience, because one has a C, the other one has a T. I explained that to you in the beginning, and I hope that y'all caught that. So Jesus lost a couple of patients, because those people that, after he starts really getting deep on them, they start splitting. They start wandering the church. Some of the church people didn't want to be bothered with him because he started getting deep. And a lot of the people, the crowd, the disciples that were following him, when he was feeding them and healing them, all of a sudden, they want to step off too. So I'm saying he lost those kind of patients, those people that were sick with the teeth. Then there are some who have lost their blessing or their position because they didn't have patience. Waiting for the Father to do his thing takes patience. God does his thing on his time, not ours. I think I said that last week. Moses says in Psalms 90:4, that 1,000 years are as yesterday to God. They are like a few hours. But to us, it feels like 1,000 years before we see the breakthrough. But realize this, though, saints. Impatience can go both ways. We mostly know about the so-called bad side of patience, when someone or something is getting on your last nerve. Yet I find that being impatient for an anniversary or a birthday or a payday can make us happy. I guess some people call that expectation, but really it is a form of impatience. So think about this, some of the things we may lose patience about can turn into joy. When we think about the goodness of God, we can rejoice. When we think about Jesus coming back, we can rejoice. So I say rejoice. Rejoice in your waiting. Rejoice in your impatience. Have patience, for the Lord is nigh. Since we are pressed for time, I will give you a couple of scriptures where we can find some impatience that was costly. In 1 Samuel 13:5-12 is where King Saul didn't have the patience to wait for the blessing of the prophet Samuel before he went to war. By doing so, Saul lost most of his army to bad nerves and fear, and Saul lost his job as king. The army became sick, they became patients with a T, and needed some healing. When you get nervous, you develop fear. Fear causes depression. If those Israelites were in these days over in Iraq or in Afghanistan or even back in Vietnam, they would need a prescription for Prozac or some other antidepressant. Some of them might have to self-medicate with some coke or some heroin or some liquor to ease their fears. They might even suffer from PTSD. Post-traumatic stress disorder. No patience will leave you with no patience. In 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, it talks about Naaman, who had leprosy. Leprosy back in the days of Naaman is like HIV and AIDS in this day, before the new medications came out. If you had HIV, you were sure to get AIDS, and you were sure to be hated and to die. Leprosy was and still is a skin infection known as Hansen's disease. It's a slowly developing disease, and the body attempts to fight the infection, which leads to extensive tissue destruction and some mutilation. It was, at one time, incurable, but today it's more of a matter of reaching those that have it and fighting the social taboos. Isn't that what HIV is about? It's our nowadays leprosy. Anyway, long story short, Naaman was told by his wife's servant where to go and who to see to get healed. Naaman hurried up and packed his bag, got his money together, and went. But the Bible says in his rush to get there, in his rush to go get healed, he went to the wrong place. Impatience will make you go to the wrong way if you're not careful. Sometimes with impatience, you don't listen to instructions so well either. How many of you, when you are in a rush to go somewhere, you miss your exit or you miss the street that you're supposed to turn on, and you have to drive all the way back around to get back to where you needed to go? Huh? In Matthew 17:14-20, it tells of one of the places where Jesus became impatient because he had told his disciples to go and lay hands while he went up in the mountain to take care of some business. Now, you got to remember that Jesus had human qualities also. And impatience got to be a human quality because not only in this one particular area I'm going to tell you about, but there's other areas where he had impatience kick in, like when he went in the temple and flipped them tables over. It says here that you see, I believe that even Jesus at the time was getting a little impatient with the task that lay ahead of him, and he needed some encouragement from somebody that had been there before. For I am certain that the anticipation of being crucified was surely heavy on the human side of him, and he needed comfort from some heavy hitters like Moses and Elijah to give him that encouragement. And I told them when Jesus finished getting his encouragement, getting his patience together, he went back to town to see how the disciples were doing. But they had gotten themselves into trouble trying to fight a certain demon that laughed at them. Expectation brings anticipation, which stirs up your patience. Sometimes our faith gets shook when the issue at hand seems like it's bigger than we can handle. Sometimes our faith gets shook when the issue at hand seems like it's bigger than we can handle. Okay. But we try it anyway. We get puffed up and quote scripture because we are John 1 and 12 and are the sons and daughters of God, and we ain't going to give up. And still, that thing doesn't happen. The job don't come. The children don't want to act right. So we get impatient as what to do next. WWJD, what would Jesus do? He lost patience for a second. For in verse 17 of Matthew 17, Jesus says, "You faithless and perverse people, how long must I put up with you?" And I say that to my grandchildren quite a bit lately. I guess I'd be losing patience with them because I just want to know how much longer I got to deal with them. And then I say, "No, God, I'm cool. Because you know he be listening.
That's right. He'll help you.
Now, you got to have to understand one thing. These 12 chosen guys that Jesus enrolled in his private school had only been in class for about a year during this time. Personally, I believe they should have been known something by now. But the Healing 301 Advanced Exorcism by Command class had not been fully taught yet. You see, Jesus, their rabbi, was still teaching the Faith 220 class, the mustard seed class. In this particular class, Healing 201, they were learning out of the Mark textbook, chapter 9, verse 29, where it teaches that some healing comes from prayer and fasting. Jesus got a little impatient and probably didn't mean to say it out loud, but how many of us know that he speaks to our heart, not just with his mouth, but with his heart?
Yeah.
How many know that he speaks to our spirit from his spirit? I've come to tell you this afternoon that when Jesus speaks, it's not a loud, booming voice. He doesn't get loud like God does sometimes with thunder and lightning. Jesus' voice comes in a sweet-sounding whisper. And I'm here to tell you, saints, listen for that voice when you feel impatient creeping in. And I'm sure that Jesus didn't fuss at those boys when they asked them how come they couldn't do it, exercise that demon. But the word says in verse 20 and 21 that he reminded them of the lesson of the day, and I paraphrase, because of your unbelief, dig this. If you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to any mountain, remove to another place, and it will move and nothing will be possible for you. But things like these go out by prayer and fasting. Maybe that's the class I need to get a refresher on. For I lose patience too quickly with myself. I give up on myself, which makes me give up on what I was sent here to do, which is to serve. Not just to my church family, but to my blood family, my neighborhood family, to any family that my father has grafted me into. I can talk about me, Lonnie, but perhaps we all need a refresher course in that prayer and fasting class. Because we need to face the fact If we lose our patience with each other, we will surely lose our patience with the teeth. Those that are sick and tired and need our services as we grow and move out into the community. I'm looking at Dr. B's vision of serving a community. It doesn't matter what community, but it's that her heart is to serve the community where God will have us to go.
Yeah.
Some other examples of impatience are with Jonah in chapter 4, where he gets impatient with God, waiting for God to destroy Nineveh while he sits on the hill and watches. In Luke 10 and 40, where Martha lost patience with her sister Mary for not helping her with the dinner, she cooked for their guests, Jesus and his crew. All through the Old Testament, it shows that God lost his patience with his chosen people. In Genesis 6, 5 and 7, God wiped out mankind except for 8 people because his impatience turned into frustration. I might get in trouble for that one, but listen. We humans have given God a personification or characteristics like us humans so we could try and understand him better, I guess. Then he lost patience with the chosen again while Moses was with him in Exodus 32, 9 through 13, when he told Moses that he was about to start it over again through Moses. But Moses asked God, how is that going to look on you losing your patience and giving up on your patience with a T? So God came up with a better solution. He sent his son Jesus. He sent the example, the King of Kings, the bright and morning star, the Rose of Sharon. Mary called him son. Peter called him the Messiah. The Pharisees called him Rabbi. The church people who was against him still call him teacher. Andrew called him the one. John the Baptist called him the lamb that came to take away the sins of the world. I call him Savior. Thomas said about him, my Lord and my God. What do you call him this afternoon? I'm almost finished. He has shown patience for his patience. He wants to show you how it works if you give him a chance. He says, come to me, all that are impatient, and I will give you rest. Jesus, the one that had the patience to heal many patients. Isaiah 53 and 5 says, but he was pierced for our transgression, for our impatience. He was crushed for our iniquity, our impatience. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So I learned and am still learning that the balm or the cream which heals my impatience and taught me to have patience is to show unconditional, unfailing love, according to 1 Corinthians 13 and 4. I am learning that to have patience is to have a piece of fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians 5 and 22. We ought to be patient. We're to be patient, bearing one another in love, according to Ephesians 4 and 2. Solomon taught that patience is better than pride in Ecclesiastes 7 and 8. And finally, here are my 3 things that I learned already, because I'm still learning. I believe it. As Dr. V, I'm learning, ain't I, sis?
You are learning.
Yes. I have... Here's 3 things I have learned already on how to deal with patience. Number 3, count to 10 before frustration kicks in.
Okay.
Number 2, shake the devil off and put him under your feet.
Yeah.
And the main one, number 1, praise God, because there ain't nothing better to do but than to praise God.
Amen.
I thank y'all for allowing me to minister to y'all today. I love each and every one of you. And if you don't mind, let me pray myself out. Father God, we love you. And I thank you, dear Lord, for allowing me to bring your word that you have put in my heart to bring to your people, to edify and to teach them how to chill when stuff looking like it ain't going to make it. We thank you, Lord, for your power in us and through us in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. day. Patience, we need it. Scripture says, in your patience possess ye your soul. Hallelujah. So that was a great preach and teach today from Pastor Lonnie. Again, if you've just tuned in, you've tuned in to Unfailing Love Ministries. And so if you missed the message, we want to encourage you. You can go on Facebook and listen to the message again if you're on our in one of our communities. We do have a Unfailing Love Facebook page, which that will be the message will be posted on tonight. Or you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Dr. V with Love, and you can pick up today's message as well as last week's message. We want to invite you to join us again on next Saturday at 4 p.m. We will be in our physical satellite location, which is 5311 Distributor Drive in the city of Richmond, Virginia. So if you don't live in Virginia, that's okay. Just get on a bus, train, car, however you want to get there, run, walk, jog, however, to get there, because you need to enter the love zone with us. It's a great place to be. Also, I want to let you know that we will be taping the show on Blog Talk Radio each and every Saturday at 4 p.m. You'll get just what you heard today and more, because when we're in live service, there's a little bit more that goes on. We'll have our children's leadership lesson for the adults, and the preach word, and just some words of inspiration and words that would encourage you to take you through the week. We want to invite you again, if you happen to work on Sunday and you're off on Saturday and you're here in the city and you want to be in a loving congregation, please be our, not only our special guest, but we're a kingdom. Please come over to this branch of Zion and enjoy yourself with the Unfailing Love Ministry. We want to, we call it the afterglow. We want to take a few minutes now and just open it up to our congregation and those that are listening live, that if they might have a comment or something that they want to share, something they got from the word today, whether it was through the talk word, about the authority and the power of praying and the authority of God in prayer, and or the message today about patience. And so we want to just open up the lines now for those comments.
Oh, let me see. I got something from Pastor Val said. We pray for what we want. God knows what we need. Oh, I was talking about veto power. That's what I want to talk about. Based on our authority that we have, that God has given us. Sometimes we abuse that authority and we try to pray for what we want. And I got a word saying that we pray for what we want, God know what we need. Sometimes there's a conflict between the two. And a lot of people who get sick, they get sick and they're like, God, don't take me now. I don't want to be sick. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord. But sometimes it's time for you to go. And we learned a long time ago in our initial services that when it's your time, it's your time. And I know it's hard to hear and hard to even say, but have patience with, and that's another impatience that we have with God. When he calls us home or one of our family members get called home, it's like, oh, why they had to go? But that was part of their time. So I thank Pastor Kyle for that word about it being in the authority and invoking our authority that we have, but we have to learn not to abuse that authority. Amen.
Amen. Well, Pastor Lonnie, this is Pastor Sharon. I just want to put my little 2 cents worth in on your comment. Now, most Christians, we know if we pray God's will, that he hears us, he answers us, and he will grant our will. It also, sometimes, it's not our time to go. And you must remember, God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Hezekiah asked him for 15
yes.
more years, and he granted. And sometimes, we do not know how to pray, and we shorten our lives ourselves, or we don't listen to the Holy Spirit when He will say, "Don't eat that piece of chicken. Go to the doctor." And yada yada, thinking somebody died. Oh, the Lord just warned them. No, God warned them to watch their diet, their flesh took them out. So it's not always the will of God, but His permissive will. You understand what I'm saying? So
I agree.
As far as taking, we cannot take advantage if we know the word of God, because I know that I can't pray. I'm married to someone, and you're married to somebody. Oh, Lord, give me them. Well, we know that's not God's will, so we would not ask that. But God loves to give His children good gifts. How much more will I give you than your fathers, your earthly fathers? So as long as we are in the will of God and not trying to use Him as a genie, there's no such thing as taking advantage of our Father. It won't happen, because He is the Father. Okay? That's a little seasoning on you. I heard we tried to take advantage. And you can try all you want to. It ain't going to happen, because God ain't no
God. Is
God. God is too wise for that.
That's right. He got the final view of God. That's right.
Yeah. And the thing of it is that the Word of God is so exciting when you really look at it, how different people pray. If you read the book of Psalms sometime, David, I'm telling you, around Psalms 51 to 53, David prayed so and asked God to do all kind of terrible things to his enemies, right? He really did. So I'm gonna make this confession. One time I was having some difficulties with somebody. I said, y'all don't want me to pray like David now. y'all don't want me to scriptalize you and go to Psalms 50, 51, 52, and 53 and go. But the balance of that is God said, pray for those who despitefully misuse you and abuse you, whatever like that. Pray for your enemy. You know, God will handle that. And so a lot of times we just don't want God to handle the business, because we don't want God's grace and mercy to come in there. And then all the time we go like, you know what, you did me like that. I'm going to pray God don't really, really reward you according to what you did, because it's going to be severe. You understand what I'm saying? Because the balance with that scripture is God said don't touch His anointed. And guess what? If we're believers, if we really in Christ, if we live and move and have our being in Him, we all are anointed. Amen? So it's beautiful. So beautiful, the discussion about the power of prayer, what God's will is and what our will is, and there is a difference. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, are higher rather than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than that. And so we want to always yield, no matter what our emotional state is. We want to yield to God. You know, I'm going to let you handle that, because, you know, right now in my weakness, I can't even handle that. You know what I'm saying? I can't even think about it right. So I need to have the mind of Christ, and until I get that, I just need to chill. Be patient, as you say. Wait and see what the Lord going to be. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That'll help us with our patience. Amen. I have enjoyed service today. I really have. And we're stuck on the 95 quarter, north quarter right now, so I'm glad we kind of stuck, because I'm enjoying service. Amen?
Amen.
Is there anyone else have any comments? Questions, children? Anything you didn't understand?
Anything.
Hallelujah. Y'all got it, so we'll have a test next week. Go ahead. Dr. V will test you. Try me. Hey, and I've been stockpiling bears too. So, yeah. a big one riding in the back seat with me right now, about 4 feet tall. Beautiful.
All right. I want that one.
All
right, somebody else wants to make a comment. Hey, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Go ahead. Could you repeat that? I didn't get it.
I didn't get it either.
Okay, sweetheart, you're breaking up.
I didn't get none of it.
Okay, well, maybe my echo is coming back. I don't know. Somebody was trying to Chris. Okay. Glory to God. Well, please send us that question or that comment on Facebook. We'll make sure to answer it next week or any time before then. You just certainly reach us directly. Just there. I want to let you know again that we will be in the house at 5311 Distributor Drive next Saturday in Richmond, Virginia. Those that are listening from California, from Texas, from Maryland, New York, and Italy even, we want to invite you to still come on the line, the Listen to Church Live at RVA for Unfailing Love Ministries. Want to pray for you as we close out the service today. We don't open up the doors of the church every Saturday, but you know what? The doors of the church are open 24/7. You can come to the Lord at any time. He hears that confession, whether there's anybody there with you or not. If you want to believe to this degree that God can find you no matter where you are, whether you're sleeping in a gutter or if you're sleeping in the White House, God will hear that prayer. Accept his son, Jesus the Christ, as your Lord and Savior, that he died for your sins and rose again, that he's now sitting at the right hand of the Father with all authority. And that authority that he has is to cancel out the plans of the enemy in your life, so that when you come into the kingdom and accept Jesus Christ, you come in with an advocate. You come in with an intercessor. You come in with a king. You come in with a savior and a deliverer, someone with power, with the key to eternal life. That all becomes a part of your life, and you don't have to clean yourself up to come. The cleaning happens as you come and sit under his word. As you come and fellowship with other believers who are trying to get maintained in the kingdom as you are, that as you listen to his word, that word will clean you up, dress you up, and prepare you to live an abundant life here on earth. Jesus Christ came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Then if you're not near Unfailing Love Ministries, go and some church on Saturday or Sunday or Wednesday and set and see if that is a congregation that you can dwell with and fellowship with while you are growing in Christ. We are not trying to direct you to any one in particular church. We want you to come into the kingdom first, and that kingdom is coming into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then the Spirit of the Lord becomes an advocate for you to lead you and a teacher for you and a comforter for you to lead you and guide you into all truth. And he'll let you know where to go, how long to stay, what to do, and how to pray, all of those things. You get so much. You get a good deal coming into the kingdom. And so we want to encourage you to do that. And, again, if you find your way to 5311 Distributor Drive to Unfailing Love Ministry, what a love zone is just that, a love zone where we're learning to lead with love God's people to the kingdom. We love you so much. We look forward to being with you again on next week on Monday night. Oh, I almost forgot. On Monday night we have Bible study online. We have a conference call number. We'll put that up on our Facebook tonight as well, that number. But also, it's Monday night at 7 o'clock. We're being hosted by Pastor Sharon Broda. We had a great lesson on last week. from the book of John, and we'll be back in the book of John again, right? We'll be in the book of John again, so grab your Bibles. Get a whole lot of requests for the Conference Bible. We have several more at the church that you can get if you'd like. If not, you can go to Ollie's anywhere. There's an Ollie's in your city if you're not local in Richmond. Find it. It's just $4.99 on sale. And that's the book that we're using in church and in our Bible study, and that book has been blessing us. It's the Word of God, and you understand it very clearly. So join us on Monday night at 7. You can do that from the comfort of your home and your PJs or what have you, and then join us again. Put on some clothes and when you come home that night. Yeah, come as you are. We are very casual church on Saturdays at 4. But do come. Come as you are. We love you and we'd love to have you. With that, we're going to let Pastor Lonnie close us out. And you already prayed again, but pray again for those that are listening online, Lonnie, and then we'll close out, okay?
Father, we thank you again for this wonderful vision that our pastor has given by doing this broadcast over the line. We thank everyone for joining in. We thank you for giving the ability that we can reach out to the community that we could have never reached out to before, Lord. And it's all because of your magnificent and giving man the intelligence on how to deal and how to meet the needs of the people. God bless the people that have their week, and bless the people as they go through their day, and bless the people, Lord God, as they be good stewards of whatever gifts that you give them, and give them patience, Lord God, with the seed, so they can take care of their patience with the tea as you have them do. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Love you guys.
Love you too. Safe traveling. God bless.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Later.